What's up, guys? Bob Busker here at Think Computers. We're on episode 12 of our weekly tech podcast, where we go through kind of what we checked out this week, our reviews, some other stuff that's going on in the site, and of course, give you the weekly tech news. As always, I have Derek with me. Derek kind of covers most of our water cooling, all-in-one water cooling systems. So what's up, Derek?
Not much, Bob. What's going on? What's up, everyone?
I was just trying to wake up this morning and give you guys do this is podcast
it,
for you guys.
Is it like nasty and raining there like all week?
No, it's been nice all week actually.
Really? It's been like terrible here.
We're supposed to get storms all weekend. I was like looking forward to the weekend, and now it's supposed to rain all weekend, which is kind of a bummer. So I'm probably just gonna sit inside and maybe I'll play some game. You know, I was on like the City Skylines thing. If you guys have listen to this podcast, I was really into it, and I haven't touched it for a while. So
it's time to update your city, take care of your citizens, son.
Yeah, so I might do that, or maybe I'll actually get GTA 5. I don't know. But yeah, it's gonna be a pretty bad weekend here in Pittsburgh, and I'm sure if you're on the East Coast, you know that all these crazy storms are coming. So
yeah.
But let's jump into our reviews this week. The first review is one that I had been working on for a while. It's one of the coolest motherboards that I have seen. It is the Asus Sabretooth Z97 Mark S, and it is a limited edition motherboard. So what Asus did is they took their Sabretooth Z97 motherboard, which one is just a great motherboard all around, and they've done some really cool limited edition things to it. First, what they did is there's the thermal armor that's on the front, and then the armor that's on the back, they made it a white camo, and that's something you don't really see at all.
No, not really anywhere.
And then on top of that, they actually made the PCB white. And there's only been, like, in history, there's only been, like, maybe three total white motherboards, white PCB motherboards. So it's Asus's first white one, I believe. And it just looks so good. Like, having a white PCB on a motherboard is just one of the coolest things you'll see. You really have to see it in person. It just looks awesome. And of course, with all of the companies coming out with, say, white cases, and we've seen white PCB graphics cards, it's just cool that you could really match everything up and get that totally, you know, all white system if you really wanted to.
It's really cool to see that they're giving us the option. I mean, even if that's not what you're into, it's awesome to see that we got it.
Yeah, the only thing I would have, like, if the motherboard came with just, like, normal SATA cables, it would have been cool if they had white SATA cables.
It didn't come with white SATA cables?
Yeah, but the actual I.O. shield on the back is white, which I liked.
That's
you know,
cool.
But, yeah, no white SATA cables. I'm sure you can get those somewhere, but... Or you can, obviously, you can get custom sleeve ones and all of that.
True.
But, yeah, that's the only thing I could nitpick about it. And what's actually cool is, too, so the Sabretooth, the original Z97 Sabretooth, I think it's called the Mark 1. The Mark 1 is only $30 less expensive than this. So for an extra $30, you're really getting, you know...
Really custom board.
Yeah, I feel even if they just did the PCB white, I would still pay the extra $30 for it. I mean, it's not that much more expensive. And like I said, this is limited edition, so once they're gone, they're gone. You know, it's just in the, like I said, the board itself is just a very, very good board. The Sabretooth line from Asus has been out for a while now, and it's really one of those boards that's made to last. All of the components go through a very rigorous certification, and you actually get a certification kind of thing that kind of tells you what all of the different components have gone through. You know, it has, I think there's like 9 or 10 temperature sensors on the board itself. And then they actually give you 3 extra temperature probes that you can maybe connect to a hard drive, graphics card, whatever you want. It's really made to, you know, have the best monitoring for your system. And they actually have a cool thing within their software. They have their AI suite, and they have, I forget what it's called. Like, it's, you know, I'm losing it right now. But, whatever the program is called, it actually will tune your fans because everybody's fan setup is different.
Oh, Easy Tune?
Yeah. No, that's not, it's not called Easy Tune.
Oh.
It's called...
I think I've got it.
Easy Tune is Gigabyte. But what it does is it will will run tests on your fans. So as long as you have your fans connected to your motherboard, it will run tests on those fans, and then it will find the best, like, what's optimally best. And you can actually name the fans, and you can say where they're at in your system, because, again, everybody's system's different. So this allows you to actually tune your fans correctly to get the best cooling and most efficient cooling for your system. And I think that's one of the coolest things about the Sabertooth motherboards in general, is that you're able to do that. Because, again, you can just throw some fans in and they're all running at a certain speed or, you know, whatever. With this, you can really tune and you can really optimize your cooling like that.
Nice.
But, yeah, overall, great motherboard. I really can't say anything that bad about it. I think the only things I really nitpicked in the review was there's no power and reset buttons on the board itself. For a board that costs, I think this is $269, I would have liked to have seen that. There's no M.2 and there's no Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi I could live without. M.2 is kind of...
You know,
you like to see it, but it does have the armor, which would make it hard to get to anyways.
Yeah, that's one of the things. And then what else? There's no debug LED, which again, you can live without. I know a lot of people do, but I was just nitpicking. But this is one of the coolest boards, probably the coolest board I've seen in a while. We don't see a lot of limited edition motherboards come out, so yeah.
No. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. It's a great looking board.
Yeah, definitely a great board. Definitely check out our review of that. It's one of the coolest things I've reviewed probably this year so far, so definitely check that out. We'll move on to OCZ. We took a look at the Vector 180. This is their 400. I took a look at the 480 gig version. This is their latest flagship 2.5-inch solid-state drive. It still uses the Barefoot 3 controller. It uses Toshiba's new... A19mm NAND, so you have the newer NAND on there compared to the older drives. It's still a great performing drive. The Barefoot 3 controller is, I think, 2.5 years old, but it still keeps up with a lot of the other drives out there. I really like it. The only real downside of this is the Barefoot 3 controller doesn't support dev sleep or low power modes. So this is not a solid-state drive that I would recommend for, say, like a notebook, because it's going to use a lot more power than other drives that are out there.
Right.
But overall, it performed really great, right up to its specifications. That just shows the power of the Barefoot 3 controller. So if you
where did it fall in our testing?
Right about in the middle.
Okay.
It performed, you know, right in the middle of all of the drives that we've tested lately.
And they're all still up towards the limit anyways, right?
Yeah. I mean, with SATA, you can only get so much out of these drives. And this, again, performed right up to its specifications. And again, that kind of shows the power. Because like I said, this controller is 2.5 years old. And it's, you know, it's going up against controllers that are, you know, less than a year old.
Yeah.
So it's still, you know, it worked really great. And one thing that's really great about this drive, oh, actually two things. One is that it does have, I gotta look at the review and I can't remember. It's been a bad week, guys. Been very, very busy. It has, power failure management plus. So that's power loss protection. So a lot of consumer-based drives don't have any. Almost all of consumer-based drives don't have any power loss protection. You're only going to get that if you go into the higher-end enterprise drives. So a lot of times what might happen is the power might go out and you'll actually lose the data that's on your drive, on the solid-state drive. And a lot of times if there's like catastrophic power failure, not a lot, but there are possibilities where you actually might brick your entire solid-state drive. So what this does is it allows to have protection on your NAND. So any data that's already been written to the NAND will be protected. Stuff that's still in the DRAM cache won't be. That's a really expensive process to do. So they've added this power failure management. And, you know, OCZ has gone through a lot in the past couple years with reliability issues and things like that. So this is one of the things that they really wanted to do, so that you could say, you know, if the power goes out or something, if as long as the data is written to the drive, it's going to be protected. And that's kind of like the big thing.
That's really cool.
And another thing they've done too to make returns and everything easy is they have their Shield Plus warranty. It's a 5-year warranty. So a lot of drives that we reviewed only have a 3-year. This is a 5-year warranty, and it's a no-hassle warranty. You don't need a receipt. They'll actually ship you the drive first. So all, nice. I believe all you need is a serial number on the back of the drive. That's it.
That's like great to see them go from all the trouble they had, like pretty much doing a 180 and then going straight.
Yeah,
to
so that's kind of their big thing customer. Is that they're focusing on customer service and reliability. So this is kind of that's, you know, because when they actually sent us the drive, they said if you're taking pictures of the back of the drive, make sure you blur out the serial numbers.
Okay.
So that's the reason why is because that's all you to do a claim. I think all you need is a serial number. They're gonna ship you the drive at no cost, and I believe they pay for shipping on the drive back as well.
That's great.
Yeah, so it's yeah. That's one of the best warranties and easiest to do warranties that I've seen for solid state drives. And again, it is 5 years as well. So, you know, if you're looking for reliability with the Power Failure Management Plus feature, as well as, you know, knowing that if the drive does something happens, you'll get a new one as fast as, you know, as fast as they can get it to you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait to take your old drive out, send it, and then wait for them. They'll just go ahead and send you one right away.
It also extends the value because you can resell it with a warranty that easily transfers.
Yeah. So. All right. So.
Added value there.
Yeah. So, like I said, two really great products this week. And then moving on to our last product, which I reviewed, was the Luxa 2 Lavi L Bluetooth headphones. And we've gone through pretty much the entire Luxa 2 Lavi line. There's two other headsets, and this is the most entry-level headset. Comes in at $30.
That's cheap.
Yeah, it's not expensive at all. These aren't a very large set of Bluetooth headphones. They're actually made to sit on your ears, not over your ears.
Right.
But they sound really good. They have 40 millimeter drivers. Obviously, you're not going to get impressive bass or anything like that. And as you turn the volume up, the sound does distort a little bit. But again, for $30, this is a great value. They have a lay flat design as well as they can be folded. So this can be easily thrown in your backpack or if you're traveling, it's not going to take up a lot of space. Obviously, being a Bluetooth device, you can easily recharge it via micro USB. All of the controls are on the ear cups. So I can have my phone or something just, you know, sitting on my bed and I can walk around and I can change, you know, turn the volume up or down or change songs or anything like that without having to actually go to my device. It does have a microphone on it, so you can take calls. Not the best microphone, obviously. It's not going to be like you're using your phone completely, but that's not really a selling point of this headset either. So
yeah, I think that, I mean, just having the built-in, is it lithium-ion battery?
Yeah.
I assume built-in lithium-ion and Bluetooth, you're going to spend more than $30 getting that like upgrade from a different brand. So like right there is your $30.
Yeah, I mean, it's to get that. For $30 you really can't go wrong. The only issue that I had with these was the actual headband doesn't have a lot of cushioning on it.
No.
But again, for $30 you really can't ask for that much. I wore them for like 4 hours and it wasn't that bad. So yeah, I mean, like, again, for $30, you really can't go wrong with this headset. It just, yeah, it's a good overall headset. Something that, you know, you're paying $30, so you don't have to, you know, it's something that if you want better sound, I always like to use a more like a headset rather than earbuds if I'm if I'm out on my laptop or I'm like at Starbucks or something, because like I just like the feel of a headset. So this is something that I would easily, you know, just throw in my laptop bag, or it's always sitting in my laptop bag. And it's just good to go.
And it's nice that you can just have it in there and not worry that you're going to lose a lot of money if it's destroyed or stolen. So.
Yeah, that too. I mean, it's $30. It's not a big investment. And it does sound good. It's not like it sounds bad or anything like that. So yeah. Awesome. So yeah, definitely check those out if you're looking for a new Bluetooth headset. And we'll move on to our Case Mod Friday. Case Mod Friday is where we highlight a case mod that's been kind of completed in the community. These are just awesome. Derek and I both really love case mods because it just shows not only the creativity of certain, you know, of the modders, but it also just, you know, kind of just brings out the PC community as a whole. So the one we took a look at this week is called Parvum Warfare, and it's based off of Call of Duty, I believe, right?
Yeah, the Advanced Warfare.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
Yeah, so it's based off Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
I believe this is an official mod for it, too. This was built for a company.
Okay. It just looks great. I can't say enough about these Parvum cases. So
They're
Parvum,
awesome.
what they actually do is they'll custom make you a case more or less. And you'll get it in pieces and you get to put it together yourself, which I think is an experience in itself.
Yeah, and it's a really good idea for them because you just ship it flat. It's not taking up a huge amount of space, and then it gives you the build experience.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. So it's built on the Parvum, what's the name of the case? I guess it's just a Parvum Systems case. I guess it's just a custom case. But we've seen a lot of mods this past year have been based off this case. It seems like it's one of the best cases for modding.
It's, if not one of the best, it's definitely probably the most popular.
Yeah, it's one of the most popular. So it has that advanced warfare theme. It looks really, really great. One thing I really liked was the color that he got with the
The
liquid.
coolant.
Yeah, the coolant. It just looks really, really good. I really like
Yeah,
that.
I believe it's a Mayhem's and one of the Auroras. If you're doing a water cooling build and you want color, there is, in my opinion, there is no other dye company to go with than Mayhem's.
Yeah.
It's hands down the best performing dyes you can get. And the Auroras, which is, it gives it that little the swirl effect in there. They're not typically intended for like everyday use, but I believe they're working towards making them an everyday use. It's kind of a show coolant though.
Okay.
But it still looks awesome.
Yeah, I mean the color that he got on the coolant is really great. And one thing I really liked about this mod is again everything matches up pretty well, and it's not overly flashy, but it's just like it just looks good.
No, he definitely got a good color scheme. Didn't overemphasize any one part of it.
Yeah, and of course custom cooling loop, rigid tubing. Yeah, it just I can't say this is one of the better ones that I've
Yeah.
seen. Very, very clean and nice. He did a lot of custom vinyl on this as well, like on the power supply, on the solid state
Yeah.
drive, on the case itself. It just looks great overall. I really, really liked it. It's just a clean build. It's just one of the cleaner builds that I've seen in a while.
Yeah, and this is James Walt 1 from that's his handle on overclock.net.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much a house modder over there now. He's always got one going on.
Yeah.
And he's
Looks.
kind of like Snuff. He's on the same
Yeah.
level of modders.
Yeah, he's one of the more high-end modders. That's why I really like this. It's really great to see these guys kind of be able. I don't know if they're supporting themselves by doing mods, but they're.
They're at least close to it because the amount of time that they put into this is incredible.
Yeah, so that's really one thing I love about the community is that, and I know a lot of higher end modders that, they're getting taken to, they're getting flown to Computex, or they're getting, companies are paying them to do builds for trade shows and things like that. I think that's one great thing for the modding community is that if you are actually good at this, there's a lot of opportunity to support yourself and support your habit, I guess, if you want to call it that. I think that's one great thing that's come out of the whole modding scene. So definitely check out this mod as well. We have a full section of Case Mod Friday, so it's every Friday, and we've been doing it for a while now. So we have a whole collection of mods, big and small. So definitely check that out. And we'll move on to our news this week. Not a whole lot of news this week. It's kind of been like a slower week, but we do have some cool stuff. So we'll start with Intel, and we have a few stories on Intel. The first one is that the new Skylake processors that are coming out will have a up to 50% higher integrated graphics performance over Haswell, and that's actually quite interesting. It seems like Intel's kind of going all out on their integrated graphics on these new chips, and I think the big driving force behind that is because, we're moving from 1080p up to 4K as sort of the kind of standard.
Yeah,
It.
it's obviously not standard yet, but it's definitely going to be the standard. Or if not that, then it'll be even higher than 4K will be the next standard.
Yeah.
And supporting it is going to be quite the feat.
Yeah. So I mean, the big thing with this is that they want people who aren't going to use a dedicated graphics card to be able to run these higher end displays. And so what they've done is they've really kind of overhauled the integrated graphics on the new Skylake chips that are going to be coming out. So I mean,
it is really cool.
Yeah, and I mean 50% higher performance than over the current generation of Haswell is pretty impressive.
Yeah, because I'm into, you know, I obviously throw an actual GPU in on like all my rigs, but so I don't know exactly how well Haswell's performs, but I imagine at this point it's got to be getting into that same performance tier as a dedicated graphics card.
Not,
you probably know more about it.
Yeah, not a so it would be like a lower end card, right?
Right.
It's not going to perform like a GTX 960,
970, right,
anything
right.
like that, but it will have enough power to play some, you know, some Steam games and things like that. Things
maybe
where
some
you
older games.
Yeah, some older games where you're, you know, the casual type games. It's not going to play Grand Theft Auto 5 at 4K,
right.
You know.
It'll probably handle a lot of your online games, though, I would imagine.
Yeah, it should handle a lot of that type of thing.
League of Legends.
Yeah, anything. League of Legends can be played pretty much on anything. So those type of things, it should be able to play. As far as everything else, it's not, you know. And
it gets you started. It's somewhere to start.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you don't have enough money for a GPU when you build your rig.
Yeah, and the thing that's also really cool about this is that it will use 60% less power than Haswell, so that's kind of impressive as well.
Yeah, that makes you go, oh, I'm gonna overclock this thing like crazy.
Yeah, and that's all. This is also gonna be great for mobile devices, as far as laptops and tablets and things like that are based off Skylake, just because that less power means longer battery life.
That's really gonna be, as we move farther forward into the future, that's gonna be much bigger key, which is cool to see that they're actually making gains in that department.
Yeah, so definitely something to look forward to when Skylake comes out, which should be before the end of the year. So pretty excited about all of the
late fall, maybe.
Yes. Well, we're going to talk about that because a new roadmap has been leaked. Intel's PC client platform roadmap, and it kind of shows everything, which I like. So it goes from 2013 all the way to 2016. And we've already talked about Skylake quite a lot. Skylake that's coming out this year, so I'm not going to talk about that much.
Right.
One thing that it does show Q3 of 2016, we will see Skylake E on the high-end desktop side, which I will be super excited about.
Yeah.
So we'll definitely see that. We'll see a Skylake refresh also. That's kind of typical. We saw the Haswell refresh, so we're going to see a Skylake refresh in Q3 of 2016, according to this roadmap. And we'll see the new low-power Cannon Lake architecture in 2016, around the middle of 2016.
Which is a mobile platform, right?
Yeah, it's a mobile platform. It's sort of like the Broadwell that we saw.
Right.
But it's more or less made for laptops and things like that. Low power, not as high performance.
But at that point, it's probably going to be getting some really decent performance.
Yeah, it's going to get good performance. As always with these new chips, everything is going to be going up performance-wise. So,
it's not your grandpa's laptop.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely. So it's cool to see that these things are on the horizon, that we're going to be seeing those. You know, especially, like I said, I'm really excited for the Skylake E on the high-end desktop side.
Which should get us a new chipset and socket, correct?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a new socket, different than X99, different than LGA 2011
B3. Love seeing new sockets.
Yes. So, pretty excited for that. And then one really cool thing that came out this week is that I guess Intel is sending out, or some people have got their hands on, the new desktop Broadwell chips that aren't actually officially out yet, but a lot of people have got them. And the Core i7-5775C, which is the most high-end Broadwell chip, again, it has that low TDP of only 65 watts, was actually overclocked to 5 gigahertz on air. Which is very impressive if you've done any overclocking. 5 gigahertz on air is very, very hard to hit.
It's more impressive when you – that picture is from it, right?
Yeah.
If that's – because that's the setup. That's not even a crazy tower cooler, if we're being honest.
I mean, it's a decent size.
It's a decent cooler, yeah. But –
So they were easily able to hit 5 gigahertz. And I think it has a lot to do, again, with the lower TDP of the chip, so it's only 65
for
watts,
sure,
compared to 84 watts of Haswell, I think. So I think, you know, it's a lot lower TDP, means that you can overclock it quite a lot.
A lot less heat.
Well, yeah, again, a lot less heat, so you don't need the crazy liquid cooling setup. Even with liquid cooling, it's very hard to hit 5 gigahertz. We've never hit 5 gigahertz on any review, any motherboard review or anything like that. Usually with the Devil's Canyon, which runs at 4 gigahertz, I'm able to get it up to 4.6. And then on the older Haswell, I think I was able to get it 4.7 or something like that. Around 4.6. Okay. And that's using an all-in-one liquid cooler.
Right.
So
you'd get farther on with a custom loop.
Yeah. But so it's very impressive that you're able to do this. I think we'll see a lot more overclocking things come out of these Broadwell processors, because again they have that low TDP. So definitely cool to see that. I'm sure we'll see a lot more of this stuff in the future.
Makes me want to get one just to play around with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those chips that's, you know, it's kind of an interesting chip because it's not a true successor to Haswell. So it's a much lower, again, much lower TDP. Performance is, you know.
Yeah, it's not like I would buy it for the upgrade. It just looks like it'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be a fun chip to play around with, do some crazy overclocking and see what you can really do with it.
I'd like to see it under some liquid nitrogen. If it can do 5 gigahertz on air, we're probably going to be seeing 6, or for sure 6, probably above 6 on that, under liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely. So that kind of wraps up the Intel news for this week. We'll move on to Verizon and AOL. Verizon.
Not companies we usually talk
about. It's kind of a big thing because, you know, AOL has been around forever. And they were Verizon has agreed to purchase AOL for $4.4 billion.
When I read this, I thought that Verizon must have run out of like discs or something. Like their subscription is running out, so they were just looking for more discs.
I think the big thing with this is that Verizon's going to be pushing out a video service this year, or is it early next year?
I think
it's in the summer. Pushing out a video service. So the purchase of AOL has a lot to do with that. AOL has a massive advertising platform and a bunch of other things. And, of course, they can use AOL just to kind of strengthen their brand. I don't know if it's the best purchase because AOL's kind of – I mean, like, what are they really doing?
Right, other than that they've been around forever.
Yeah, I mean, they do have the ad platform is one of the big things that they do have. It's one of the bigger ad platforms that are out there.
Is that simply because they've been around forever?
Yeah, I mean, sort of. I mean, it's one of the bigger ad platforms that it's available.
Okay.
You know, and there's a lot of people who, I'm guessing, still use AOL as maybe their homepage or something like that. So maybe Verizon can kind of take advantage of that, as you know, with their customers. But it's kind of interesting because, you know, AOL has been around for so long, and it's kind of like, it's just weird, I feel, to see somebody buy them.
Yeah, you just don't see their name in the news.
Yeah, not that much at all. So definitely something interesting. Well, it'll be interesting to see what Verizon does with AOL, if there's any branding change or, you know, or anything like that.
Or if we start getting free discs with every new phone purchase. That would be a bonus for me.
Does AOL actually still send out discs?
I hope not.
Yeah, that'd be weird if they did.
I mean, that seems like it'd be a giant waste of money, but I don't even have a drive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't use optical media at all. I mean,
exactly.
The only time I really use it is if I need, like, certain... I don't even use it because, like, if I'm doing drivers for a motherboard, I just download the new ones off a flash drive. And exactly. I install operating system off the flash drive. Like, it's just not... Optical media... Like, I don't understand why people still buy CDs either. I mean, that's just crazy.
Other than to have something that you're physically holding on to, there's not much point in it. And it's kind of just a waste of resources.
Yeah. So...
But, I mean, I guess it gives you more value as far as CDs go. Like, because you're actually getting something... versus a digital download for the same price, but...
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I've been optical disc free for a very long time.
Yeah, I don't remember the last CD I bought.
Yeah, I mean, even, like I said, on the PC side, or as far as, like, in my car, I have Bluetooth, so that just goes to my phone. I don't have the use for CDs.
Yep.
Yeah, so, but anyways, kind of cool to see somebody buy AOL. Be, you know, we'll see what Verizon does with it, in the long run.
And hopefully it's not just close the doors tomorrow.
Yeah. So, we'll move on to some AMD news. It's actually quite cool. So I don't know if it was last week or the week before, we talked about NVIDIA giving away two
It
AAA.
was last
Was it
week.
last week? Yeah, two AAA games, which were Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, and what's the other one?
Oh, it was Batman Arkham.
Yeah, so Batman Arkham, and now they are giving. Oh, well, now AMD. Well, not AMD. This is actually a Newegg deal exclusively, but to kind of combat that. Newegg has actually said that almost all GTX not, or I can't even talk today. Almost all Radeon R9 290Xs and R9 290s will come with Dirt Rally and Grand Theft Auto 5, which also are two AAA titles. And this is exclusively through Newegg, and it looks like anything above a Radeon R9 270 will come with the Dirt game. And then almost all of the 290s and 290Xs will come with Dirt and Grand Theft Auto 5. So I don't know if Newegg had some type of deal with somebody, or they're just trying to pump up sales or get rid of the inventory of older Radeon cards, but this is a great way to do it. Again, Grand Theft Auto is kind of one of the most talked about games recently. And the Dirt series is always great as well. So yeah, it's kind
Yeah,
of.
I think that's a good value added.
Yeah, so it's actually quite cool.
And that'll help them move. I'm sure it's an inventory issue.
Yeah, so that's gonna help them move them. And again, you're getting an R9 or R9 290X, and then you're getting, and some actually 280s or 280Xs are actually coming with both games as well. You kind of have to go through and look through all the listings, but there are a couple 280s that actually or 280Xs that come with both games. So,
Nice.
yeah, it's kind of
Just
a
got it.
value add if you're looking for a new graphics card, and again, you're getting two great games, especially Grand Theft Auto V,
Yeah.
because I think that's, again, that's one of the most talked about games this year that a lot of people are playing.
For sure.
So that is one part of AMD news, and the second part is that we could see AMD's Radeon R9 300 series launch June 18th.
It's cool to have a date.
This is a possible date. This is obviously a rumor date. That will be right around E3. And this is not the high end, though. This is
No.
the normal cards that are all rebrands that we talked about last week. This will be the official retail launch of these. And then it's possibly to, we will possibly see AMD have their own event on June 24th. For the higher end, which will be the 390X. But it's
Right.
kind of weird that we're not seeing what cars are actually going to be based on the VGXT chip. So we know for sure it's going to be the 390X, but we don't know any other cards are going to be based off that.
It'd be sad if it was just one card.
Yeah, so we're not exactly sure how AMD is going to do all that, but these cards, one thing that I really think that AMD is trying to do is really get out to PC gamers. They're actually having their own show, which is called the PC Gaming Show. That's going to be held at the same time as E3. Sort of just a PC gamer only type deal that they're doing. So we expect
Yeah.
that's why they're launching these cards at, you know, they. I mean, if they're having this show that's sponsored by them, I would assume that they're going to be. That's what when they're gonna
Yeah.
launch the cards, and then
Otherwise, it's a big chunk of money to spend for just throwing
AMD wastes a lot of money on events. That's all I'd
an
say, because they did
event.
that with their Hawaii launch. They paid for everybody to go to Hawaii and do all this stuff. I mean, it's they waste a lot of money on events. So, but yeah, it's cool to see a date.
It's their money.
Yeah, it's cool to see a date. It's interesting to see how they're actually going to launch these. But yeah, that just means we're getting closer. We'll probably see a lot of these cards at Computex, but they won't be out yet at that time. But E3, which is later in the month, we should see them launch there. That's yeah. the latest rumor mill is having them launch there. That makes sense for AMD just because they're having that big show totally focused on PC gaming, so it would make sense for them to launch them there.
And then they don't have to compete with anything else at Computex?
Yeah, they don't have to compete with anything else at Computex or any of that. So we'll move on to Microsoft and Windows 10. And Microsoft announced they will have 7 different versions of Windows 10, which is kind of expected, really.
Yeah,
so the 7 different versions are Windows 10 Home, Windows 10 Pro, Windows 10 Enterprise, Windows 10 Mobile, Windows 10 Mobile Enterprise, Windows 10 Education, and then Windows 10 Core. The Core Edition is kind of like what will run ATMs and those type of systems.
Okay.
But Home is going to be the big focus, and that's pretty much what, if you're buying a new laptop or desktop, it's going to come with Windows 10 Home. The Pro Edition is sort of like the higher end. That's kind of like the Windows 7 Ultimate. It's around that. Obviously, Enterprise is for enterprise users. They've changed the name of Windows 10 for phones to Windows 10 Mobile.
Yeah.
And then they have an enterprise version of that for big companies. And then, of course, you have an education version, which is made for students, and it's also made for universities and all of that.
Do we know if it's a full version or if it's just a cheaper version? Is it the full version or a stripped down cheaper version?
I'm not sure.
Because it's going to be incredibly cheap. They always do that. Microsoft always takes care of education.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a full version. I think it's just going to be cheaper.
Okay.
But yeah, so we have 7 different versions coming out. It's not that all, you know, when I first read the story, I was like, oh, they're making it more complicated, but it's really not all that complicated.
I actually feel that it's slightly less complicated than it's been in the past.
Yeah.
It's like, you got your basic, you got somebody that's going to mess around with it more, then you're into enterprise, and then from there, it's just, you know, mobile and education.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy to kind of figure out which version of Windows 10 you're going to want. Yeah, that's basically it.
Cool.
So finally, we have some gaming news this week. Blizzard announced a $1.2 million Heroes of the Storm World Championship tournament. I love to see this kind of stuff, you know, with esports. Esports is growing so much. Blizzard just had their Heroes of the Dorm tournament a couple weeks ago, where they actually had a tournament that was on live TV. It was on ESPN2. And the winners of that got the rest of their college education paid for, which is pretty awesome.
Substantial prize.
Yeah, so with this, they're going to have a prize pool of $1.2 million in cash and prizes, which $500,000 of it will be given away at BlizzCon, where they're going to have the final or the big tournament. And the winning team will walk away with $200,000, which is a lot.
Good winnings right there.
Yeah, so it's awesome to see these really high prizes for these for esports. It's really growing the sport, I think.
It legitimizes it to me.
When I was playing in tournaments, you were winning like $100, and this is at big LAN parties too. I mean, these were you know, 1,000 people LAN parties. Now we're seeing, you know, massive cash prizes for the big tournaments, especially. And it's great that the makers of the games are really doing this. This not only is building their game, but it's, you know, before,
it's like showing support for the community.
Yeah, we would never see stuff like this. You know, back when I was, you know, I was pretty big into esports when they first came out. I was playing a lot of Unreal Tournament and things like that. Like, they never had a big tournament like this for that. So it's really great that they're doing that.
It's helping to launch a game, but of course they're still helping esports as well.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how this will be broadcast, because again, that Heroes of the Dorm tournament was actually on national television, and this is even a bigger tournament, I feel, for Blizzard. So I don't know if they're going to have that same contract with ESPN or not, but it'll be interesting to see if we could actually watch this on TV.
Yeah, you'd think at least the North American tournament would be on ESPN, maybe.
Yeah, so it'll be very, very cool. I've never actually played Heroes of the Storm. It's much like Dota or League of Legends, but kind of in the whole Blizzard realm.
It kind of takes characters from all of their games, correct?
Yeah, I believe
Warcraft, StarCraft, and Diablo.
Yeah, it takes, and then you put them together into that type of game. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, so that is our news for this week. Like we said, not a whole lot of news, but definitely some cool stuff to check out. Moving on to next week, we have some cool reviews. I will be taking a look at some cool stuff. First thing is the Cryorick H5 Universal CPU Cooler. So, was it last week or the week before? I took a look at their R1 Ultimate, which was their flagship CPU cooler. Now I'm moving down the stack to their H5, which is a single tower cooler. It has a very thin fan, so you have 100% RAM compatibility. The cooler looks great. I did the unboxing the other day.
I like that hyphen design they got.
Yeah, it's a really cool design on the cooler itself. It just looks good. I'll be installing it probably today or tomorrow to get the review out. So I'm pretty excited to check that out. I'll be taking a look at a pretty cool portable hard drive. So I'm looking at the Buffalo Mini Station Extreme NFC. It's a 1 terabyte USB 3.0 portable hard drive. It's made to last. It's like not super rugged, but it has a rugged design. Military grade spec on all that kind of stuff. But one thing that's really cool is that it comes with like a little credit card, but it's an NFC credit card. What that allows you to do is you can carry that with you or something like that, and you can just tap on the drive and it will unlock the drive. So you know, you have it plugged in your computer, there's software that's gonna ask you for a password to access the drive, like a lot of these portable drives do. But with this, you can just use the card, tap it, and you're in the drive. So this is kind of cool if, you know, you're somewhere and somebody needs to access a drive and you don't want to give them your password. If you're like me, which I shouldn't even tell people this, but I use three passwords for everything. And you obviously...
There goes the site, yeah, Bob.
So you obviously don't want to tell people what your password is, and or it might be something embarrassing, like I love men or I don't know, or something.
Oh, wait, Bob, how is that embarrassing?
You know what I mean? It might be something like, I don't know, like Pokemon or something, you know, whatever it may be. But it might be something that you don't want to tell people. So you have this little NFC card that you can say, oh, grab the card and just tap it and unlock the drive.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Hardware encryption?
Yeah, it's hardware encryption as well. Cool. So very, very cool drive. And then Derek will be taking a look at the Fractile... designed Core 2500 PC case. Their Core series has been around for a while, so this is the 2500. It's more of a compact ATX mid tower. Kind of has their same look that they've had for a while. So he
looks like an entry level.
I'm not really sure on the price on it, but it's sort of like that. But we know Fractile Design for good cases, you know, solid cases. So it'd be cool to see what Derek thinks about this case. And then finally, I'll be taking a look at a mouse pad, which I'm not super excited about. But Kingston sent us some of their new mouse pads. So this is their HyperX Fury Pro gaming mouse pad. And I believe they sent me the massive one, which I kind of like, actually. Yeah. Because
I use one that's way too big, but I love it.
Yeah, so they sent me their really big mouse pad. They've really geared up their HyperX line, Kingston has. So they have two mouse pads for the HyperX line, and this is their new one. So I'll be checking out next week. And at the end of the podcast, we always talked about something that we've checked out this week, and I've had a horrible week as far as doing things. I've pretty much have just been working, but I was able to get out on my friend's boat. So I kind of just wanted to talk about that, I guess. For me, it's just getting out of the house because I've been so busy with the site and everything, is that at least on the East Coast where I live and where Derek is, it is summertime, and it is the time to kind of take advantage of the nice weather because we only get maybe 3 or 4 months of it.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
Yeah, so what I typically do is that a couple of my friends have boats here in Pittsburgh, and we like to go out on the river and just have a good time, relax, and just kind of chill. So that's, you know, in my free time, that's what I've been trying to do. I don't know if you've done anything this week.
I kept up with my shows. I'm really, really liking Silicon Valley right now. Have you been keeping up?
Yeah, did you watch the last episode?
I did.
I was going to say, there's a lot of, I figured that Gigabyte did a little sponsorship there, because I don't know if you saw the...
Yeah, it was super techie.
Yeah, because they were building, like...
They're building a server.
Well, I mean, it was made to be a server, but it was like a GPU-powered server, sort of like cryptocurrency mining rigs type thing.
Yeah, yeah. based on my
and all of the cards were Gigabyte cards, so I don't know if Gigabyte did a little sponsorship or how that kind of worked out.
Yeah, they were even dropping product names and stuff. I was like, I'm so proud.
Yeah, so totally. That's cool. Yeah, if you haven't checked out Silicon Valley, definitely check out that show. Watch it from the beginning, though. It's a really good show.
They're only half hour episodes, so it's so easy to get through.
Yeah, I usually
and it's an HBO show, so no commercials.
Yeah,
it's great.
I usually watch those. Like, I take about a half an hour lunch break, and I like a half an hour because the thing with me is, like, if I watch a show, I have to watch it all the way through. I can't just, like, stop in the middle.
Okay.
So half an hour shows are good for me.
Nice.
Yeah. But that kind of wraps everything up this week. As always, guys, we'll have our show notes page where we have all the links to everything that we talked about, all the news stories, all the reviews, everything like that. Also, again, you can go ahead and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You just type in Think Computers, all one word. We should show up, and that is it. So we'll, make sure you can, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. It automatically shows up for you. But until next week, we'll catch you guys later.